From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The city of Sacramento has adopted a new strategy in its response to homelessness. At an hours-long meeting last week, the city council voted to approve a new multi-point plan, which includes adding new tiny homes, a new safe camping site, and more. But one element of that proposal has been particularly controversial, charging unhoused seniors 30% of their income to live in those tiny homes. Cap Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer has been following this story. She joins us now with the details of this plan and the criticism that it's receiving. Hey, Riley.
Hi, Vicky.
Okay, so what does this new homelessness plan include?
Okay, so basically last week, the city council gave an update about their overall plans for addressing homelessness in the city. The meeting largely focused on building 4 new tiny home sites across the city with no more than 40 units per site. And the council voted 7-2 on charging folks 30% of their income to live in them. Besides that, the other major things included 2 potential locations for new permanent housing sites in the city, and they're looking at setting up a safe camping site with around 100 spots and a safe parking site with about a max of 80 parking spots.
Okay, well, when it comes to these future tiny home communities, where would they be located? What services would they offer?
Good question. The city is eyeing sites in North and South Sacramento, and they're trying to iron out their 4th site. And they're looking at District 7, which is Rick Jennings' area. And that includes some of South Sacramento and the Pocket / Greenhaven area. But they don't have a proposed location just yet. The city says they'll provide general social services, such as substance abuse prevention programs and helping transition to other housing if requested. But residents are allowed to stay in the tiny homes as long as they want. They also plan to house people who are on Medi-Cal care plans, which means that those people will have access to life skills classes, meal programs, and other housing navigation tools.
How much does it cost to build a tiny home?
So that was one of the big points at the city council meeting last week. Brian Pedro, who's the city's community response director, told the city that each tiny home dwelling will cost the city around $85,000 to build, and the city will be paying for them in full. They'll come with AC, electricity, Wi-Fi, and a fridge/freezer situation. This is way lower than the price of permanent supportive housing, which is around $400,000 a unit to build. It should be noted, though, that the bathrooms and cooking areas will be shared. Councilmember Mai Vang, who is one of the dissenting votes, took issue with calling them proper homes because of the communal situation.
For me in particular, these structures are not permanent homes. Yes, they are non-congregate rest spaces, a step towards stability, but I don't consider it an actual home, and I'll share with you why. You can call it housing, but if it's temporary with no shower, bathroom, inside the tiny home, that to me is not truly housing, especially if we have seniors living there, right, having to figure out how to walk maybe across to the micro communities to find the bathroom.
Okay, so what is the city's reasoning or argument to have unhoused seniors pay for living in these tiny homes, which do come with some communal spaces such as a restroom?
Right. So this is a pretty rare move and has stirred up a bit of controversy. But the city's logic is that running a program like this, especially at a time when state funding for housing is shrinking, will cost the city. And having residents pay helps offset operating costs while also giving members of the tiny home villages a sense of buy-in and personal responsibility.
Okay. And so it's going to be roughly a third of their income. What other specifics are behind what they would need to pay to the city?
Well, to begin with, they use the federal guidelines for kind of how much it costs to like live a like self-sustaining life. Mm-hmm. So that's why they chose 30%. And that would go into effect 90 days after a person is living there to kind of see if they're the right fit or not. A large part of it, too, is that people who will be living in these homes will generally have fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. So that includes money from Social Security and disability, depending on their situation.
Okay. So they'll have a grace period of about 3 months before having to commit a third of their income.
Yes.
Why only seniors?
So 3 out of the 4 sites will mainly focus on seniors over the age of 55 because of their particular vulnerability for living out in the street and the rise of homelessness in this population. According to the city, 20% of the homeless population in Sacramento includes seniors who are on that fixed income I mentioned.
Yeah, and this also comes as, of course, we have a new mayor in Sacramento. This plan was put forward by Mayor Kevin McCarty, and he does have a different approach to homelessness. What have he and supporters of the plan said?
Mayor McCarty has been teasing this out for a while. He ran on a platform of taking a more aggressive approach to homelessness. For instance, in July, the Sacramento City Council voted to ban sleeping outside of City Hall, which had previously been sanctioned by city officials in 2018. The official ban went into effect at the end of August. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I went to a Q&A session Mayor McCarty did with the ACT or ACT Interfaith Group. He's maintained over the course of like the last few months that this strategy is the most cost effective and it gets people into shelter at a faster rate. And then also at the council meeting last week, Mayor McCarty said this of the progress.
So I'm really proud that the city of Sacramento is answering the call, looking in an era literally when we're facing less money from the federal government, less money from the state government, and less money from the city coffers. So you would think all those three combined, we would be cutting places for homeless to go. No, we're not solving homelessness tonight, but we're on a good trajectory.
Other council members like Rick Jennings were also into the idea. Jennings has run a nonprofit dedicated to supporting stronger family units in Sacramento since 1997. And he said that in his experience, that buy-in is often more effective and it gives people, quote, more skin in the game.
Okay. But it wasn't a unanimous approval from the city council. The council voted 7-2 to approve this plan. So what did the dissenting council members say?
Yeah, so previously we heard from Mai Vang. She's pretty outspoken about her feelings about the tiny homes. She also mentioned that she's not totally into the idea if not all the units are ADA compliant. So that's a big thing that she has an issue with. But the other dissenter was Roger Dickinson. He pretty much outrightly addressed Jennings' position and asked the question, like, considering that a lot of these people may only make around $1,000 a month, how much skin do they have to give up? And is their experience living on the streets, is that not skin enough, if that makes sense?
It seemed like that city council meeting, because I know you were there, it was pretty robust with public comment.
Yeah. There was about an hour of public comment, around 34 people spoke, and it was people of, you know, different positions. You had people who were property owners who were concerned about where the sites were going to go, and then you also had homeless advocates and homeless or people who are experiencing homelessness themselves there.
Yeah, and even a debate among council members as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer about Sacramento's new homelessness plan, which includes a proposal to have unhoused seniors pay 30% of their income to live in tiny homes. Are there other examples of cities or local governments charging unhoused residents to live in tiny homes?
The charging part is pretty rare. In my reporting, I haven't come across any instances myself. But the tiny home approach has been becoming an increasingly popular strategy. The city even has acknowledged that the move is, quote, distinctive. And I spoke with Arturo Bayaki, who is a professor of social work at Sacramento State. And he said that he's never heard of a city charging for housing like this. Other examples of cities having tiny home villages in general would be like Santa Barbara. Oakland has implemented similar villages, and San Francisco. However, there's no fee involved.
You mentioned there were a lot of voices, a variety of voices at the city council meeting. So what have council attendees, like advocates or experts, what have they said about this plan to build more tiny homes?
Well, I think one of the major consensuses from Sacramentans who spoke out at the meeting, which, like I said, there was around 34 people, is that the solution is not perfect, but at least it's something. I've also, in terms of like media, I've read that a SACB opinion writer, Tom Phillip, has written positively about the move, commending the city for doing more than the county on the homeless front. Arturo Bayaki of Sac State said, in order for these tiny homes to work for the unhoused community, there needs to be adequate social services. He's done research with his students on the city's Roseville Road tiny home community and has found that what is provided to residents there isn't exactly adequate.
Roseville Road is like a quasi-prison in my opinion. It really is not great. And in those kind of deployments of tiny homes, it's for a long-term people are going to be there for years. And you need to think about those tiny homes as like little communities of like, here's a community garden, here's a rec center, here's, and people still need some kind of support.
Okay, so a quasi-prison, I mean, that's a pretty strong opinion.
It is, yeah. I mean, we spoke a bit afterwards, and he said he got that descriptor from some of the residents that he knows there. So yeah, it's a pretty intense thing to say. And I think a lot of that has to do with the particular size of that shelter. There's around 200 tiny home units.
Okay, so there are a lot of people that are living in this space. I mean, can you expand a little bit more about how residents are feeling about those spaces?
Yes. Bayaki, I have yet to go myself to the Roseville Center and speak with residents directly, but Bayaki has spent some time researching Roseville Road and speaking with residents, as I mentioned. I think one of the takeaways from him and what he's heard is that these villages need to be designed carefully and on that smaller scale to ensure people get the attention and social services they need. And I mean, each of these tiny homes are going to have at maximum 40 units, so there is promise for that. He said just in particular with the Roseville Road Center, the conditions aren't good, but he has heard that residents are grateful to have that kind of shelter.
Yeah, just to have a roof over their head instead of sleeping outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or in a vehicle. How long before these tiny homes are actually constructed?
The timeline on when the first of the four sites will be built isn't exactly clear. There's no like exact date out there. But a spokesperson for the city said that each village will take roughly a year to a year and a half to fully build out.
Okay. And then you mentioned there's like roughly 40 units per site. How many are they planning to build overall?
Well, with the 40 units per site, that would be a total of 120 units maximum, like across the city in those locations.
Okay, got it. I mean, of course, Riley, homelessness is an ongoing crisis in Sacramento across the state. California is home to the largest unhoused population in the country, and it has grown considerably in recent years. How big of an impact do city officials believe this specific solution, tiny home communities charging unhoused seniors to live there, how much of a dent do they think this will make in the overall problem?
I mean, I think, first of all, I think that's kind of a time will tell situation. As we all know, homelessness is a persistent problem across the country and is extremely visible in California. The city, both staff and council, definitely acknowledge that this is one part of a multi-step approach, and it's definitely not a one-fits-all size solution. I think that the aspect of paying will probably dissuade some people to wanting to even live there. That being said, the city seems hopeful that this will make a decent impact. They said they've held listening sessions for seniors 55 and up, and that there was great interest in these homes. But as I mentioned, I mean, only time will tell like how these communities work and what impact they will have on existing homeless responses, such as lowering numbers in shelters and things like that.
I mean, there's a lot more for you to follow.
What
yes. What are you going to keep an eye on in the future?
Something I think is really important to keep in mind in the reporting I've done in Sacramento is, and something I would like to investigate in the future, is just the social dynamics in these tiny home villages. In my experience covering homelessness as a reporter in Napa in the past, I found that the social environment that these people live in can be just as critical as the housing itself in order to keep people in them. So I will be curious to see, you know, if the city will prioritize this once the villages are built and people move in down the lines. Neighborhoods are just really important. I mean, I think anyone who lives in a home can kind of attest to that dynamic.
Right. A community can be a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Riley, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that is CAP Radio local government reporter Riley Palmer giving us a breakdown of a new homelessness plan that was approved by the Sacramento City Council. It includes a controversial proposal for unhoused seniors to pay 30% of their income to live in the city's new tiny home communities. Up next, bird watchers and wild animal spotters rejoice. One of the best places to do both right here in the city is getting ready to celebrate 50 years in the community. We'll learn more about the FEON Nature Center. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.